Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I have a person in the studio, my next guest, who definitely doesn't tuck into cans of condensed milk or any of that other rubbish. About a year ago, you might remember, we aired an interview with middle distance runner Eloise Wellings, who was competing in the Commonwealth Games in Delhi at the time. If you heard that interview, you'll know that Eloise is a wonderful young woman, not only an elite athlete, but a big-hearted advocate for orphans in Uganda through her charity, the Love Mercy Foundation. The really exciting news for Eloise is that she's now qualified for the London Olympics. Eloise, welcome to Open House.
Thanks.
And congratulations.
Thanks.
What have you qualified for?
The 10,000 metres so far.
Yeah. So what are your chances?
Pretty good, really. I guess the next stage of the process to get selected is to run the qualifying trials in December. But the main, I guess, relief is that I've got the standard done. The qualifying standard is, I guess, the hard part.
Yes.
In Australia, there's not too many girls that can do the standard. So it's a big relief.
Congratulations. It's a wonderful achievement.
Thanks.
Well, tell us what the lead-up's been like. Give us a sketch of your training schedule.
Before I qualified, I spent a month training in Laguna Mountain, which is in California, and it's basically in the wilderness, which was great. Great for training and great to just focus. Mm-hmm. We run usually twice a day, have one day off a week, and I run around 120 to 130 kilometres a week.
Wow. Yeah. How much a day does that amount to then?
Probably between 20 and 25 kilometres a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Many injuries?
Yeah, I've had a few.
Hardly be surprised.
I haven't had any for a couple of years, which is great. But during my, I guess, growing years and teenage years, I had a lot of stress fractures, mostly bony injuries. So
yeah. It was actually one of those injuries that had a very significant impact on your life.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. When I was 16, I qualified for the Sydney Olympics as a 16-year-old. And a couple of weeks after doing the qualifying standard, I suffered my first stress fracture. And obviously that was a really disappointing blow.
Oh, yes.
I was in year 11 at the time, and but I had, we had this new girl at our school, Lisa, who came and told me that she'd been praying for me. She'd heard about what happened, and she came and told me she'd been praying for me, and she'd love to love it if I came and visited her church. And after a couple of weeks, she took me to her church and just heard the gospel and I guess God just revealed Himself in a powerful way to me and received Jesus, and
it's another one of those stories where really good things come out of really bad circumstances.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a big lesson. You run this charity, the Love Mercy Foundation. Yep. Remind us of that, how it came about.
In 2008, I had another injury that I went over to Portland to try and rehab. Over in Portland, they have this fancy treadmill over there that I was going over to rehab my foot injury on. And I met a Ugandan guy, Julius Achon, who was training there at the time also, and just became really good friends right from the word go with him. And I was quite despondent at the time because I was also trying to make the Beijing Olympics and had this foot injury, and he just started sharing little bits of his amazing testimony with me, and just brought some perspective, I guess, to my situation. And my husband and I and my parents-in-law ended up going to his wedding about 6 months after we left Portland. So we went to Uganda and went to his wedding and just saw all of the needs in his home village in Uganda. And we went home, and it was probably another at least 12 months before we set up the Love Mercy Foundation to actually start sponsoring orphans and get the medical clinic and school projects started, I guess.
Yeah, what a powerful connection. How many orphans do you support? And tell us something of their circumstances.
We have 34 sponsored orphans at the moment, mostly by Australian families. There's some American families as well. And these are all kids that have grown up through the war in northern Uganda and, you know, come from, you know, a lot of them have seen and experienced terrible things happen to their families and experienced... things that you can't even begin to describe their past. But they're sponsored for their schooling and their uniforms and their food and accommodation if they have to actually sleep at the school as well.
And you make use of microloans as part of this?
Absolutely. We've got one of our other projects is our Sense for Seeds program, where we give a microfinancing loan to the women. We give them 10 kilos of seeds, and they go and grow and harvest those seeds. And they usually average a harvest of 100 kilos of food, and they give back the principal amount so that we can pass it on to the next woman. And that's been really successful. Our last year we did the program with 300 women. This year we've done it with just under 600. So,
wow.
And it's making a huge difference to their lives and to the lives of their families as well. And, you know, it gives them something to do. It empowers them and, really gives them that hand up.
Can you think of one in particular that where you've seen this at work? They've been part of this seed development program.
Sure.
And what kind of difference has it made in their lives?
Oh, I mean, for a family in Uganda... I guess they're so dependent on the weather and the dry season and the rainy season. So if they have, I mean, to give you an example, the year that we actually went and visited Julius's village and went to his wedding, when we left the village, there was a really, bad rainy season, a bad growing season for seeds. And 13 people actually died in his village from famine because they just didn't start with enough. And I guess that's one of the goals of the Sense for Seeds program is giving them, entrusting them with a small amount. And you know, they're such hard workers, I guess, because they've been through so much.
Yeah.
They will use whatever you give them, and you know, the women have just been amazing and grateful for whatever help that they can get.
But it's great for your heart.
Absolutely.
If ever I've known anything about elite athletes, it's how focused they are and kind of inward looking. What is it about you or the way that your life has unfolded that allows you this very significant distraction?
I don't think there's anything really special or anything. I think that I definitely know that God's always had this plan. There's been, I said before, I've had a lot of injuries in my running career, but since I became a Christian, there's been specific moments that I've had the peace of God about His plan for my running career, and I feel like I'm at a point now where I really feel like my running dreams have found a purpose in love, mercy, and in, you know, Uganda and meeting Julius and that whole process and, you know, how it's just kind of all unfolded and still unfolding and, this is just the beginning.
I'm sure it's got a lot to travel as well. You got a fundraiser coming up, competing in the Sutherland Surf Fun Run a couple of weeks. Allow me to give that a plug. Tell us about that.
Yes. So this is our biggest fundraiser of the year, the
Sutherland
Surf.
For the foundation.
Yes.
Yes.
We're hoping to build a medical clinic in the village. We'll be doing disease testing, inoculations, medication dispensing, and obviously education, which is critical for ensuring long-term health. And, you know, the village people are excited about this, and we're hoping to raise enough money to build the clinic. And if people want to get involved, we're asking people to run for the Love Mercy Foundation. And you can go to our website, lovemercyfoundation.org, and you can either donate and sponsor another runner, or you can actually run yourself and set up your own profile page and And ask people to sponsor you.
Good stuff.
And it's it's great. It's really interactive, and we've got around 70 people running for us at the moment, and we're all going to wear Love Mercy Foundation t-shirts and have a big breakfast celebration at the end. So hopefully we'll raise the money that we need.
So at this moment, you've got a whole lot of people listening.
Yes.
Why should they support this?
Because it's just a great cause. I mean, I've been there. I've seen the need, and I don't know. Just trust me.
And the need is great.
When we went there last November to Uganda, and we told the people, we shared with them about the plans for the medical clinic. You know, there was joy from 700 of these men and women in this village, and then they told us that they just lost six of their women through childbirth because they simply couldn't get the medical attention that they needed, and that was just in the past fortnight before we got there. So it was obviously a big thing for them to hear that we were going to be able to help them.
And you too, if you'd like to join this cause, Love Mercy Foundation, oneword.org, and we'll post the details on our Open House Community Facebook page. Eloise Wellings, it's been a delight meeting you.
Thanks.
I wish you all the best with this and that thing in London called
the
Olympics.
Yeah.
Thanks very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks.
Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.